This morning, I'd like to call your attention for the time that we are together to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. It's right early in the Bible. It's right after the book of Deuteronomy. And it is a book that tells us a great deal about Joshua, who was to take the place of Moses. We know Moses was a great man in the Old Testament. He was used of God to deliver the Hebrew slaves out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and the wilderness. He was used of God to give Israel the law. He was the lawgiver that God gave to him in the mount. He was a leader of men. And can you imagine how difficult that job was for him for 40 years in the wilderness, leading a people that were stiff-necked and oftentimes hard-hearted and given over to ingratitude and idolatry. But Moses was faithful, and God used him in a mighty way. But Moses, like all of us, was a mortal man, and he died. And God calls on Joshua to follow Moses. Can you imagine what a challenge that was? For Moses has now been taken off the scene, and Israel, the Hebrews, are still in need of a leader. And God raises up this young man named Joshua. Now Joshua had been with Moses for 40 years. Moses had been his mentor. He had seen Moses in action for 40 years in the wilderness. Now Moses is gone, and God is raising up this man, Joshua, to lead his people. And I want to notice with you in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, beginning in verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, now listen to these words, Moses, my servant, is dead. And he reminds him more than once, Moses is dead. Moses was a great man, but he's dead. And you can't lean on him anymore. But God is raising up a man to take his place. And I want to say, a lot of people in this life feel like they're indispensable. I've met pastors that thought they were indispensable. I've met parents that thought their kids just couldn't get along without them. A lot of politicians think they're indispensable. But I want to tell you, the cemetery out here is full of people that thought they were indispensable. But how many of them were? None of them. Moses, as great as he was not indispensable. He could be replaced. And that'll be the case with you and me when we're gone. Amen? Now, Moses is dead. And God had to remind Joshua over and over, Moses, my servant, is dead. But this morning, if you and I are serious about following Jesus, and how many of us are? How many of us are really serious about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, following in his steps? Or are we just Sunday morning Christians? How many of us are really serious about following Jesus, being more like him? Well, I want to tell you, beloved, if you're serious about being a Christian in this world, there's some things you're going to have to remember. And one of them is, God will be with you all the way. Amen? Amen. Listen to what God says to Joshua. Let's look down here in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 1. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. Listen now. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So God is encouraging Joshua by telling him, just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now let's look at another passage here in verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, the people have arisen, and they're telling Joshua, God will be with you. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now let's look over here at another verse in Joshua chapter 1. Verse 17, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. So God has told Joshua, I'll be with you. And the people have arisen and says, God will be with you. And I just want to say to everybody in the house today, God is going to be with us. And I'm talking about all of us. I'm not just talking about the pastor, the deacons. I'm talking about all of us in this house today. Did you know that God made a promise to you and me in Hebrews chapter 13? He said, let your conversation be without covetousness, for God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Did you know that promise is to you this morning, to these children that are here, to the elderly? The promise is to all of us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. How many of y'all keep that in mind, that the Lord is with you always, wherever you go? He's with you day and night. Nell and I watched the neatest movie this week, and it was about a little girl. And anyway, I won't go into all the movie. It was a 1945 movie. So there was no cursing, no profanity, no nudity. That's the only kind you and I need to watch. Amen. Stay away from everything else, because Hollywood produces a lot of trash that's not fit for human consumption. But anyway, this little girl was growing in her knowledge of God, and she said, may God sleep on your pillow tonight. Well, God will be on your pillow, but he won't be asleep, because the God that keeps Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. That cannot be said of anybody else. But I want to tell you, our God is with us, and he is going to watch over us. And you know, Joshua needed God. I mean, he had an incredible job ahead of him, leading this people out of the wilderness into the promised land. And when they crossed the Jordan, the first challenge they had was the city of Jericho. This week, Nelda's son, Aaron, sent me a sermon that was preached here at Cool Springs back in 2022 by Elder Gary Hall on the spiritual Jerichos that we face in this life. And it was such a blessing to Aaron, he sent it to me. And I sent his text to Brother Gary. And Brother Gary was very encouraged that somebody got a blessing out of a sermon he preached here back in 2022. Now let me tell you, you and I are going to face a lot of spiritual Jerichos in our lives. Just like Joshua was facing the city of Jericho. A city that was walled up. A city that had great defense. But they were standing in the way of the Hebrews getting in to the promised land. And God arranged for the walls of Jericho to come tumbling down. Do y'all remember that? Well, I want to tell you, you and I are going to face a lot of Jerichos in our lives, but God will be with us. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. When I think about a young mother that's got a bunch of kids, she needs God. Would y'all agree with that? She needs them now. She needs God every day and every hour. You know, the life of a mother can be very ordinary. I mean, it's the same old every day. You get up, you cook breakfast, you wash the dishes, you do the laundry, you sweep the floor. Then you got to cook lunch, and then you got to cook supper, and it's the same thing over and over and over and over. And a lot of the nights, the babies don't sleep. Did y'all ever have a baby like that? We did. And let me tell you, my friends, mamas need God. They need Him. But just as the mothers need Him, the fathers need Him as they try to provide for the family. And our children, our little children need God. And I want to tell you, pastors need Him, desperately need Him. Pastors' wives need Him. Everybody in this house today needs Him. None of us can get along well without Him. But I'm glad to be able to tell you all this morning, just as He was with Moses and just as He was with Joshua, so He has promised to be with you and with me. Praise His name today. You know, in Matthew chapter 1, when the announcement was made that Mary was going to give birth to a child and she was a virgin and it was going to be a miraculous birth, the text says, "She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name," what? Jesus. "For he shall save his people from their sins." Now that name, Jesus, was very meaningful. They didn't call him Moses. They didn't call him Jeremiah. They didn't call him Samuel. They called him Jesus. Why was his name Jesus? Because the name Jesus means Savior. And I'm glad to tell you all this morning, He saved His people from their sins. He got it done. God sent the right one to do it, didn't He? And He got the job done because on the cross He declared it is finished. But later on in Matthew chapter 1, just three verses later, I believe it is, the text says, "His name shall be Emmanuel." Now, you know what the name Emmanuel means? The name Emmanuel means God with us. Now, the name Jesus means Savior. He got that done, taken care of on the cross 2,000 years ago. But Emmanuel, He's still our Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Knowing us like I know us, you would think the text would have said God against us. Who in this house today deserves God's favor, God's blessings? Anybody? Please raise your hand if you do. I want to meet you. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the text does not say God against us, but God with us. He is still Emmanuel today. He's with us to help us through life's journey. And we need him every day and every hour. You know, there are days when we recognize that we need him more than we do on other occasions. But the truth is, beloved, we need him at all times. When you wake up in the morning, I hope he's on your mind. And you just spend a little while there before you arise from bed and just thank him and praise him for watching over you through the night and keeping you safe. And he blessed us to get here this morning. And beloved, you and I need to just understand that he is with us at all times. I want to turn over to Isaiah chapter 41. And I want to notice with you all in this prophecy of Isaiah, a beautiful promise that God makes to his people in verse 10. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Now I want to read that again. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." I love that. What about y'all? Fear thou not. You know, in the Bible, we are given many, many commands to fear not. I've been told that the expression "fear not" or "fear thou not" is over 365 times in the Bible. Now, I've never done the homework. If y'all are up to it, y'all can do that homework. Just start in Genesis, go to Revelation, and count every time God says "fear not" or "fear thou not." Now, it may not be in there 365 times, but you'll get a blessing searching for it, won't you? Amen. I appreciated something Brother Green said down at Bay Springs during their fifth Sunday meeting. He was trying to quote a scripture, and he said, "I can't give it to you right now, but don't take my word for it. Go look for it." I thought that'll come in handy as a preacher. You know, we expect the preacher to know every reference and where it is. But Brother Green gave us a challenge. He said, "It'll do you good. Don't take my word for it." So maybe it's not in there 365 times. I imagine it is. And if it is, that's one for every day of the year. Fear not. Now listen to the text. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." He didn't say, "Don't fear because you've got a big bank account. Don't fear because you're young and healthy and energetic. Don't fear because you're handsome or beautiful." No, he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness." How many of y'all are getting this morning and taking it personally? Are y'all thinking this just applies to somebody else in the church? I don't deserve it. No, none of us deserve his presence, but I want to tell you, his promise is to all of us. "I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper.'" Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 43 and notice beginning in verse 1. Isaiah 43 and 1. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Oh, I love that. Let's read that verse again. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob." God is the creator. We believe that. You know, in nature, you can look through a telescope and see worlds on top of worlds in perfect order and design. You know, I'm not an astronomer, and I've never looked through a powerful telescope, but they just keep making more and more powerful telescopes and discovering more and more galaxies in the known universe. They talk about the known universe. You know why they do that? Because they know there's a part of it they don't know anything about. The known universe, billions and billions of stars out there. You look through the telescope and you see the handiwork of God. And then you can look through a microscope and see things the naked eye cannot see, but you see perfect order. Isn't that amazing? I did look through a microscope when I was down at Middle Georgia College. I didn't know much about what I was looking at, but it was amazing to see the handiwork of God that the naked eye cannot see. And it's just amazing. I have heard that every snowflake is unique, has a unique design. Have y'all ever heard that? Now that's hard to believe in a way until you believe in the God of this Bible. Now, they can put a snowflake under a microscope and it can be as beautiful as any stained glass window you've ever seen. Perfect order and design in those snowflakes. We're here to worship an awesome God, beloved. He's not a little God you can put in your pocket. No, sir. He's the God of creation. And so he's reminding Israel, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee." God not only created us, he has redeemed us. And that word redeem means to buy back. He bought us back. Satan took over when Adam and Eve sinned and we fell under his influence, but we have been redeemed, bought back by the precious blood of Jesus. He says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." You and I belong to God this morning. Sometimes I wonder, why would he want a poor sinner like me? But I want to tell you, he loves us with an unconditional love. You and I aren't deserving his love today. We're not earning his love. His love is unconditional. But listen to now what he says. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee." Oh, beloved, throughout Scripture, we keep reading about God's promise to be with his children here in this world. Now, you can't depend on people like you can on God. I hope y'all have got a friend that you can count on, but I want to tell you, human beings are fickle. Can I get an amen on that? There are people who will crown you one day and crucify you the next. But our God is faithful. You can count on him. Your best friend may not be around tomorrow to be your best friend, but I want to tell you about one that'll be here tomorrow. And that's the God of Scripture. The God who created you and the God who redeemed you and the God that's promised never to leave you nor forsake you in this troubled world. I want to turn with you now to the New Testament, to the book of Acts. And I want to notice a scripture in Acts chapter 18 and verse 9. When the apostle Paul was in the city of Corinth, and he'd been there for quite a while. And let me tell you, Paul was a man of God by grace. He had been a persecutor of the church. He had been an enemy to God's people, but God's grace touched his heart and changed him on the Damascus Road. And God's grace turned the greatest enemy the church ever had to the greatest defender the church ever had. Are y'all amazed at God's grace? I see it in people. I see God changing people. And I tell you, it's amazing, isn't it? People you never would have thought would have been interested in the church or would have ever been interested in the Bible, all of a sudden they're hungry for the Word of God. I tell you, I believe in a God who can change people. What about y'all? Do y'all believe in that kind of God? Y'all are listening to a preacher this morning that God changed. I used to come to church when I was a little boy, and the best part of the service was the last amen. A sermon was never too short for me, I can tell you. My mama, bless her memory, she did her best to keep me quiet in church, but she had a job. She had a job. I was not interested in the singing. Those old songs didn't have any appeal to me at all. They weren't a foot patting song in the bunch. You know, I was already kind of interested in Elvis and that kind of music. The church hymns meant nothing to me. The Bible was just another book. I hate to tell you all this, but that was me in the flesh before God's grace ever touched me. But one day, let me tell you, God took a hold of me. Mama couldn't change me. Daddy couldn't change me. Elder Doherty couldn't change me. But God made a change in me. He's an amazing God. He is a sovereign God. And he takes this man, Saul of Tarsus, an enemy to the Church of Jesus Christ. And he's on his way to Damascus. He's got letters of authority in his pocket from the high priest in Israel to go to Damascus in Syria and arrest Christians down there and bring them back to Jerusalem for trial, for imprisonment, and maybe for execution. And he was breathing out. Acts tells us he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He was the Osama bin Laden of the first century. You think you'd have been interested in trying to deal with him? No. But I want to tell you, he had Ananias intimidated. And Ananias was a Baptist preacher in the city of Damascus. He was feeding the sheep, feeding the lambs. He was enjoying being a pastor. And he gets word that Saul is coming. And he says, I've heard about that man. He was going to pack his bag and get out of town. But God said to Ananias, behold, he prayeth. As a Pharisee, I'm sure Saul had offered up thousands of Pharisaical prayers that never got above the ceiling. But all of a sudden, the man is praying sincerely from his heart. On the Damascus Road, he's laying there after Jesus strikes him down and he cries out and said, Lord, who art thou? And he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he says, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? He's praying. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Lord, what would you have me to do? See, he had Ananias intimidated, but he didn't have Jesus intimidated. Jesus met him on the Damascus Road, and that wild man fell down, conquered by the love and power of Jesus Christ. And so now he's going around preaching Jesus, and he's coming to Corinth, which was a wicked city. You know, in the first century, Corinth was it had a reputation worse than Las Vegas. Y'all ever been to Las Vegas? I've been 3 or 4 times. Not to gamble now. I went out there a few years ago to help constitute an old Baptist church. But let me tell you, Las Vegas is not known for its churches. It's known for a lot worse things. Corinth was as bad or worse than Las Vegas. And God sent Paul God sent Paul to Corinth to preach. And he was there for a long time and nothing seemed to be going on spiritually, and he was ready to leave. He was just going to give up and leave. And I couldn't blame him. But I want y'all to notice what the Lord said to him in Acts 18 and verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night. You know, God comes to us in the night a lot of times. Have y'all noticed that? He came to Paul in the night. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee. That's better than having the Delta Force with you. That's better than having Marines with you. He said, I'm with you. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Now I want you all to look at verse 10, Acts 18 and 10. There's a great doctrinal lesson right here. God did not send Paul to Corinth to make him some people. He already had some people there. Listen to the text. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. They were already God's people before Paul ever got there. You say, well, now how can that be? Because of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God had already moved in there and worked in their hearts. And they were already God's people. You see, you and I are not sent out to make God some sheep. Preachers can't make sheep. We can feed them, but we can't make them. God alone can give himself sheep and goats. How many of y'all believe that? So, listen to the text now. He says, I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. And a strong New Testament church was built in the city of Corinth because God was with Paul and helped him in that work. And I want to tell you today, beloved, you and I need him just as much as the Apostle Paul ever needed him. I need him right here at Cool Springs Church. Every pastor in the land needs God. Every member of the church needs him. And I'm glad to tell y'all he's right here with us today. Let's look now over in Acts 23 and verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And when it was day, oh, I'll tell you, when you read the book of Acts and you see how the Lord was with the Apostle Paul all along the journey, you'll just be encouraged in your own life as you're dealing with life's challenges and life's problems. I want to look with you now in Acts 27 and verse 22, when Paul and others were on a ship and they were in a terrible storm, and the storm lasted for 2 weeks, and the storm was so violent they couldn't even see the sun or the stars. And let's read here in verse 20 of Acts 27, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. See, Paul had warned them not to leave. It was not the time of the year to be sailing in the Mediterranean. And he had warned them, but they wouldn't listen. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Now listen, we're talking about a storm. We're talking about a violent storm on the Mediterranean that they can't even see the sun or the stars. And that little ship, you know, is being tossed to and fro. And yet Paul says, be of good cheer. You'd think he's out of his mind. Are y'all, listen, anybody who's really close to God and walking with God and living by faith and trusting in the Almighty, and He's as close to you, you just reach up and touch Him. You can be cheerful in a storm. Otherwise, you're going to be scared out of your minds. I want to encourage all of us to live by faith and not by fear, not by sight. Amen. Listen, we're living in a troubled world, aren't we? A dangerous world. Everything that's going on overseas and all that could be going on here and is going on in Minneapolis and Portland and many other parts of the world. We're living in a dangerous, troubled world. But I want to tell y'all, God is with us. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And in the midst of your storm, I want y'all to be able to say, be of good cheer. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. You'll understand it better by and by. Listen, God's children don't live by explanations. We live by faith. People can go crazy trying to explain the tragedies of life. When an accident, a car accident happens and three teenage girls are killed like that, and you're trying to figure it out, you can go crazy trying to figure all that out. Your hope is that they were God's children, and the minute their body's eyes closed in death, their spirits left that body and went to glory. Now, I want to tell you, that can cheer a parent up. How are you going to comfort a parent who's lost a child? Try explaining it all? No. Just by assuring them that there's a better world than this one. And by faith, we can see it afar. Amen. Y'all like that? Yeah. How many of y'all have got the eyes of faith to see away from the troubles of this world? See, if all we do is just focus on life's heartaches, life's troubles, I want to tell you about a God that can take care of people when they're broke. Don't have a penny to their name. I'm talking about a God that can provide. He can make a way where there is no way. I believe that with all of my heart and all of my soul. One night, many years ago, when my dad was coming back home in a little Model T, the lights on his truck were out. And this is back probably in the early 1930s. He got down here to the creek just past our church building, and there had been a storm, and the bridge had washed out, but the runners were still there over the creek. And somebody had put some bushes up there in front of the bridge to let everybody know this is dangerous. Don't cross this. Well, Daddy's lights were out, but he saw the bushes. He got out, moved them, and drove on across. And the car stayed on the runners. He didn't know about it till the next morning. But I want to tell you about a God who took care of my daddy. Are y'all with me today? See, God is real. Now, your fears are real. Your anxious fears or your troubles, your anxieties, they're all real. But they can be helped tremendously by reading the scriptures and believing the word of God and internalizing the holy scriptures. We're talking about a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can even think of or ask for. How many of y'all believe in a God like that? See, I tell you, the more I think about God, the more He is incomprehensible. Can y'all believe in a being that knows how many drops of water are in the Atlantic Ocean? I do. Can you believe in a God who knows how many atoms there are in your body? Now, the Bible tells us that He's numbered the hairs on our head. That's just to let us know He cares for us. the most loving mother in the world, I doubt, has ever sat there and held that baby and counted those hairs. God cares for us. But beyond that, He is so awesome. He is so beyond our comprehension. And we are told in Scripture that He will be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so Paul says to these sailors on the ship, he says, "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship." The ship's going to be lost, but you'll be saved. "And there stood by me this night," see how God comes to us in the night? "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Oh, I love that. "I belong to him and I'm serving him, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that shall be with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me." See, it's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to believe God. So no matter what you and I are facing, and I'm glad God arranged this world so that we don't know what the future holds, but I'm glad I know who holds the future. He's right there with us. And so here's Joshua. Now Joshua stumbled. He stumbled. One thing Joshua had to learn, that God was with him. Another thing he needed to learn was that God is the boss. God is in command. You're second in command. How many of y'all have learned that? Come on now. Or y'all want to be in the driver's seat? Come on. I'll plead guilty myself at times. But I want to tell you the truth is, He is in command. We're to take. Jesus didn't show up to take orders from us. He shows up to give us orders. Amen. Tell us what to do, how to live. How many of y'all are good at that? Well, I want to tell you, you and I need to learn that just as Joshua needed to learn that. God is in command. He is the general. He gives the orders. And you and I are to follow in His steps. And God didn't say to us, "Now wait a minute, on this matter of being a Christian, where are you on the spectrum?" You know, you hear a lot today about spectrums, like the autism spectrum, and there are spectrums, I understand that. Well, God didn't ask us, "Where are y'all on the spectrum of Christianity? Are you at one or two or three or four?" No, I want to tell you, it's either for him or against him. Amen? Are y'all getting this? Jesus said, "He that taketh hold of the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven." Did you hear that? When you and I take hold of that plow of Christian discipleship, and we start looking back, we'll end up like Lot's wife, turned to a pillar of salt. You know, Jesus told us to remember Lot's wife. Y'all remember that? How many of y'all ever think of Lot's wife? I'll tell you, it'll do us good to remember her. As my dad used to say, if you don't want the cows licking you, you know, cows love salt blocks. If you don't want the cows licking you, don't look back. Let's just take hold of the plow and keep on keeping on. It's always too soon to quit in the service of God. Amen. Life goes on. And your hand needs to be in the hand of God. And I pray that He'll help us. Let's pray for just a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we confess to You this morning that so often we forget You and we fret, we worry. And we're ashamed of that. We beg You to forgive us. And we ask You this morning to help us that our faith in You will grow. and that we'll commit all of our cares to you who cares for us. Help us to be better parents, grandparents, better children, better church members, better pastors and preachers, better businessmen, better employees, employers. Help us, Father, to be better husbands, better wives. Please, Father, help us to trust in you with all of our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.